When I was approached for Rabbi Adler to give a shiur on Kedushas Habayis, I didn't consider myself capable of giving such a shiur. So I asked him if I could switch the topic a little bit, talk about Kedushas Habayis, but also talk about the person themselves, how they can work on themselves, and therefore that would enhance Kedushas Habayis. But I also took this as an opportunity to visit the neighborhood again and to basically give a mazel tov to the kehillah for getting a rav and wish them success in their future and their endeavors. So I want to take this opportunity. I was very happy when I heard the news, and it I'm hoping that it works out, all works out.
Amen.
I'd like to thank Rabbi Adler said I'm supposed to refer to as Rabbi Danny, and his mishpacha for hosting this year. The Manishim should help that you should talk only make simchas, and you should only have a house of Torah and a simchas and achas.
Amen.
Okay. The subject of Kedushas Habayis depends very largely on Shalom Bayis. And Shalom Bayis depends very largely on two people focusing and having the same goal in what they want from life. Because when you have people with different goals, it makes it very difficult for people to work in unison together to accomplish, because they're pulling in different directions. So one of the greatest ways to achieve Shalom Bayis is really to find a common goal of what we want from a family. What do people want from their family? If they have a common goal and common interest, it definitely enhances the chances of couples working together in Shalom Bayis. But before we get to Shalom Bayis, I would like to take a step before that, and that is to explain a level of shalom that exists within the person themselves. You know, a person is made out of a Yetzer Tov and a Yetzer Hara. Just want to explain what Yetzer Tov and what Yetzer Hara is and how they manifest themselves. The Gemara tells us, Chazal tell us, that a child is born with a Yetzer Hara, and they don't get a Yetzer Tov until they become 12 or 13. And the question is, what does that mean? That they don't get a Yetzer Tov until they become 12 or 13. There are many children that learn well with Gishmak and Davin, have a Cheshik to do mitzvahs. Therefore, they're not 13. They're not 12. They're not 13. And what happens that at 13, all of a sudden they get a Yetzer Tov? What exactly is this Yetzer Tov that comes into the person at 13? The Yetzer Hara is there from when they're born. And the Yetzer Tov comes at whenever they mature, either 12 for a girl or 13 for a boy. The Rambam in Shemayna Brachim explains it to us, and I think if we substitute two words for Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara, we'll be able to understand what happens at 13, and many Chazalim will be easier to answer. We'll use the word desire for Yetzer Hara, and we'll use the word control for Yetzer Tov. Seichel, control, intellect, whatever way one wants to word it, but we will substitute, instead of using the word Yetzer Hara, we'll use the word desire, and instead of using the word Yetzer Tov, we will use the word control. A child is born with desire. From the minute it's born, it desires to nurse, and when it gets older, it desires to play and to break things and to roll in mud and to jump in puddles. And as it gets older, the desires mature, and they want different things. And then it's candy, and then it's iPods, and then it's v'chulu v'chulu, then it's bigger toys. And throughout life, our desires are to find newer, better things for ourselves. A child does not have the seichel, the ability to say no to their desires. Yetzer Tov means the ability to say no and to control desires. Yetzer Tov doesn't mean, it's not good and evil. Good is control, and evil is not control. So what happens at 13 or 12 is that the Torah decided that at that age, the child is mature enough to be in charge of themselves. They have to be able to tell themselves no. Whereas before 13, they can't be expected to be responsible because they don't have the ability, the seichel, the control, to say no. But as soon as they turn 12 or 13, the Torah expects them to have that control, that ability to say no to themselves. We can understand the Gemara. The Gemara tells us that there was a time in history that there used to be a Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah, and the Chazal took it away from us. They abolished the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah. It was a Yetzer Hara we couldn't overcome. So it says, Nafik Nurim Yibei Katcha Kedashim. A fire came out of the Katcha Kedashim. The question is, why did the fire come out from the Katcha Kedashim? The fire shouldn't have come out of the Katcha Kedashim. The fire should have come out from some Avodah Zarah house. That's what they abolished. The answer is, the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah was a desire to serve. Every person woke up every morning, so I heard from my Rebbe, Rav Weinberg, Zechut Tzadik Levracha, that he woke up with a desire to serve. He wanted to serve something. Like we have a desire to have money, and we have a desire to eat. They had a desire to serve a deity. Which deity they were going to serve was the question. So if you channeled it correctly, if one was able to channel the Yetzer Hara correctly, they were able to serve the Rebbeinu Shlomo with desire. If they didn't channel the Yetzer Hara correctly, so then they went and served Avodah Zarah. Took away the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah, atheism came into this world. There's no longer built-in desire to serve. If you look, atheism started right around the time when Chazal took away the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah, because you didn't have a desire to serve, so there's no desire to serve, so then you can make up all kinds of different theories of how the world came into existence without having to come to a deity, without having to have a Rebbeinu Shlomo. Followed by another Gemara. They wanted to take away the Yetzer Hara of Arayas. So the Gemara says they took it away, chickens stopped laying eggs. Why did chickens stop laying eggs? Because the Yetzer Hara of Arayas is the desire to have offspring. Take away that desire, chickens that won't lay eggs. It changes the whole world. The world needs desire to exist. Desire is a necessary component of every facet of the world. It's a necessary component of a human being. It's a necessary component of the animal world. The difference is, Yetzer Tov says, channel that desire. Use that desire to serve the Rebbeinu Shlomo. Yes, that desire is necessary, the desire is needed, but there's a way to do it, and how to do it, and when to do it. That is called Yetzer Tov. Yetzer Hara means, I'm interested in instant gratification, so therefore I will do it without any control. So therefore, Yetzer Hara of Arayas is to do Arayas. Yetzer Tov of Arayas is to get married, and to get married in the right way, and to do a B'Kedusha, and to elevate it, because that's using that desire that the Rebbeinu Shlomo put into the person, which is a necessary component of the person, and channeling it the right way. Rashi says, "B'chol levavcha b'shnei yitzrecha." Serve the Rebbeinu Shlomo with all your heart. Rashi says, "Serve him with Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara." What do you mean you serve the Rebbeinu Shlomo with Yetzer Hara? Very simple. Channel your desires. Serve him with control. Channel your desires. Tzadikim libam b'shusam. Their desire is in their control. Rishoim b'shus libam. The desire controls them. The difference between a tzaddik and a rasha is, does he control his desire, or does the desire control them? So we have a person, and every person, is made out of these different components, desire and control, and this is the constant battle of Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara. The constant battle of Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara is, do I control my desire? Does my desire control me? Now, comes along, so this Nochamas HaYetzer manifests itself in different ways. Now, we like to think of Yetzer Hara as evil, Averis, which it is, and Yetzer Tov as mitzvahs. But in between mitzvahs and Averis is a huge gray area. This huge gray area is called Divrei Rishus. It is not wrong, nor is it a mitzvah. It's Rishus. It's voluntary. The difference, what is Kedushim to you? What is Kedusha Sabayas? We talk about Kedusha. The word Kedusha is to elevate the mundane, to elevate the Divrei Rishus, that it should become used for serving the Rebbeinu Shlomo. The difference between one who lives Bikdusha and one who doesn't live Bikdusha is not necessarily one who does mitzvahs and one who does averis. There's black, there's white, there's the white is the mitzvahs, the black is the averis. There's a huge gray area in between. The huge gray area is, I'm going to live a life, and there's many things out there that are available to me, that are not forbidden to me, that are allowable. But what is my tachlis in this world? Is my tachlis in this world to serve the Rabbeinu Shlalom? So my focus will be to use all the things that I can acquire and have, how I can best serve the Rabbeinu Shlalom with them. If my tachlis is to have an enjoyable life, so then I might not do averis, I'm a frum yid, but I don't have any aspiration to elevate my mundane life to be more than just a mundane life. I don't have any aspiration to elevate the mundane to serve the Rabbeinu Shlalom on a higher level. That is where the Avaida of Kedusha lies. And there is no black and white answers. What does Kedusha require? To every person, Kedusha requires a different thing. Because Kedusha requires that a person focus in on where they're up to, how can they next elevate their life and make it more into serving the Rabbeinu Shlalom. So for one person is Kedusha, is for the other person not Kedusha at this point. Every person has to deal with their gray area. We're not talking about Averis, which are Aser for everybody. We're not talking about Mitzvahs, which is a command to everybody. We're talking about the huge middle gray area. Our daily, normal, mundane life that either turns into a vehicle to serve the Rabbeinu Shlalom or is lived as a mundane life with the Rabbeinu Shlalom left out of it. We make a bracha when we eat. If we stop and think, what are we doing when we make a bracha when we eat? Right? There's a medrash. Let me try to explain it with a medrash. The medrash says, we are different than the Goyim in many aspects. In plowing, in planting, in harvesting, in threshing. When we plant, there's a mitzvah, don't plant kalayim. When we plow, there's a mitzvah, don't plow with a shor and a chamar together. When we thresh, there's a mitzvah of leisach some shor b'dishai, don't muzzle. When we harvest, we leave to the poor. The goyim don't do any of that. But the Medrash is trying to say, the Medrash says it in the Pasuk, v'skadishtem v'yisem kedoshim. We harvest, they harvest. We eat, they eat. Our mission is that eating is a service of the Rabbeinu Shlalom. We make a bracha. We elevate the eating on one level as soon as we make that bracha. And we're not eating like a regular person eats. We're eating because we're serving the Rabbeinu Shlalom, or at least we recognize the Rabbeinu Shlalom while we're eating. We might be using it to serve him. We might be indulging, but at least we recognize his presence even while we engage in the mundane things of life. So when we make a bracha, when we try to elevate, when we try to put spirituality into the mundane, that is called Kedusha. This is the battle, this is the struggle that every yid has from the day they turn 13 to the very end of their life. It's going to be a battle in the Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara, and the main battle is fought, we're talking about from Yidden, in the gray area. We're talking about people who stay away from Averis by and large. We're talking about people who keep mitzvahs by and large. And the battleground, the main battleground, takes place in this gray area. How much of my mundane life am I going to elevate? How much Avedas Hashem am I going to get out of the non-mitzvahs, the gray area in my life? This is where the Kedoshim Tiyu manifests itself, and this is where we all struggle on different levels, each one on our own level, to elevate our life, to make it more meaningful, to make it more spiritual, to make it more Kedushadik. Because I'll say, Tamid HaChamim Marbim Shalom Ba'olam. The word Marbim Shalom Ba'olam is because the Talmud Chacham is the person who's supposed to be able to achieve a level of peace. His Yetzirah is supposed to be, he's supposed to reach a level where he can direct his desire to serve the Rabbeinu Shlalom. He lives at peace with himself. He has less of a struggle. Everybody has a struggle. But because he's been able to channel his Yetzirah more, become more in control of himself, he lives a more peaceful life. because he is more peace with himself, he's more focused, he knows what he wants from life, he's goal-oriented. Everything he does, again, theoretically, everything he does is to achieve that goal that he wants from life, which is to serve the Rabbi Nishtalem. So if he gets something, it's because it's going to enhance his service of the Rabbi Nishtalem. If he does something, it enhances his service of the Rabbi Nishtalem. Now, we're not on that level. We're not Tamid HaChamim who have that total control, who live in that inner peace with themselves. So each of us on our own Madrega aspires or works on different steps in how one can achieve this elevating of the mundane to make it more kedushadik, which is what kedushas habayis is about, which is what kedusha is about, which is what kedushim to you is about. Just want to move in on one other aspect over here that we can discuss, and then maybe we can like put it together. You find an interesting thing in Chazal. Friday afternoon, Friday night, Chazal were very concerned about shalom bayis more than any other time of the week. You find many halachas that deal with the concept of shalom bayis on Friday afternoon and on Friday night. The halacha says that one should sharpen their knives erev Shabbos because of shalom bayis, because he's going to cut his challah or his meat, and it's not going to cut, and his wife is going to be—it's going to be his wife's fault. So that's what Chazal said. Chazal said it's a mitzvah of ner Shabbos. The reason of ner Shabbos is to create an environment in the house where people are relaxed. Because when it's dark, Rashi says, you bump into things. And when it's light, then you see and you're more relaxed and there's more shalom bayis. Why are Chazal so concerned about shalom bayis on Friday night? Why aren't they concerned on Monday night? And on Tuesday night, when the guy comes home and it's dark, he'll bump into the same things. Why is Friday night, and so many halachas, there's halacha of sharpening the knives, there's halacha, and the Gemara tells us a story that a mayor came into a house where every Friday night they had a fight, and he stayed there a few weeks, the Gemara and Gittin, till he made peace between them. What is special about Friday night that it brings out, quote unquote, the worst in us, that's when Chazal are concerned of shalom bayis? I think that if we think it through, I think Pshat is as follows. The Yetzer Hara changes his approach when it comes to Shabbos. All week long, a person has a very internal struggle. He fights with himself, his Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara. What am I doing? Should I do? Should I not do? How should I do? How should I not do? In the gray area. Shabbos, that struggle is gone. Chazal tell us that Einik Shabbos is a mitzvah. On Shabbos, we want to indulge. On Shabbos, we want to have the nicest things, the nicest food, and the nicest plates, and the nicest things. Shabbos, cover Shabbos. They've taken the gray area on Shabbos, and they've elevated it and made it a mitzvah. In fact, Einis Talmud Chacham is Me'erev Shabbos Le'erev Shabbos. Of all the nights of the week that they say a Talmud Chacham should spend with his wife, they pick Friday night. They take the regular daily life, and on Shabbos, they turn it into a mitzvah. So on Shabbos, there's no fight. You can have the best meat and the best steak and the best dishes and the nicest, whatever you want. It's Einik Shabbos, the Kavod Shabbos. It's Kavod Shabbos. You can elevate. Rashi says, Neshama Yisera, Lechol, to eat more, to drink more. So Rashi says in Be'ah. Because on Shabbos, the Rabbi Nishtam says, doing the mundane is a mitzvah. It's Einik Shabbos. So what does the Yetzer Hara do? Try to get a person to indulge more in Olam Hazeh? It's Kavod Shabbos. We're not talking about people that are doing Averis now. We're talking about Frum Yidden that are not doing Averis by and large. Their Nisyanis are in the gray area. So what does the Yetzer Hara do? He moves to the next level. So if he can't get the person internal in his internal strife, he decides to create strife in the household. He switches his tactic, and he has everybody, well, and we can put a very good hesber on it. Friday, everybody's in a rush to the last minute, and everybody's always, quote-unquote, tense. And he takes advantage of that, and he tries to create an atmosphere Friday night where if the person himself is not at strife, but at least he's going to ruin the Kedushas Habayis. He's going to ruin the unison, the unity of the spouses of the house to serve the Rabbi Nishlam. He's going to create strife. So Chazal bent over backwards and made sure that whatever they can do to create an environment that in the house should be shalom bayis on Friday night. Because that's the night that the people are more at peace with themselves. the battle over the indulgence and in the gray area of the week is not being fought on Shabbos. This is the night that you can indulge and you can eat and you can drink and you can do all the things, and it's a mitzvah. So we want to do it with Kedushas HaBayis, with Shalom Bayis. And that's where the Yetzer Hara puts its emphasis, and that's why there's a mitzvah Hadlokas Ner Shabbos. The Hadlokas Ner Shabbos is to say, make Shalom in the house. Make Shalom in the house. But let's stop and analyze, what does that mean, make Shalom in the house? So of course, on a very simple level, it means, very simply, if it's light out, Rashi says, if it's light in the room, when you walk, you won't hit things, you won't stumble on things, you won't trip on things, so you'll be fine, you'll be able to, won't have fight. But there's a deeper meaning to what Leil Shabbos does, what the Neiris Shabbos does. You know, women stand by the Neiris Shabbos, and they beg for their children, they should become Talmid Chachamim and Yirei Shemayim. This is every woman, her Ner Shabbos, when she stands by her Ner Shabbos, this is her moment of the week. This is where she comes into Shabbos. This is where she basically begs the Rabbi Nishleven for everything that's on her mind. Ner is perspective. Light creates perspective. I can have a dark room, and in the dark room are many stumbling things. Stumbling blocks. When I put light on, I have not removed any stumbling block. Every single stumbling block is there. But if I have light in the room, I know where I'm going, I know where I'm headed, and I avoid the stumbling blocks. Light does not remove problems. Light puts problems in perspective. You see things, you have a goal, you know where you're going, and you can avoid the stumbling blocks. The Ner Shabbos illuminates the house, so I won't trip and hurt myself physically. But Shabbos is supposed to create the environment, and that's why Shalom Bayis is so important on Shabbos. Shabbos, which is the one day that every Yid, whatever my Madregi is, feels some connection to Kedusha, feels some connection to elevation. Shabbos is the day that's supposed to serve as the Ner. It's supposed to be a time of introspection, when people can stop and think. I just spent my whole work week running ala michya v'ala kakolo, running to earn a living, and running here and running there, without moments for me to stop and think, what do I want from life? What is my goal in life? What do I want from my family? What do I want from my children? Where are we headed? Where are we going to? Shabbos is a time you can stop. It's a Ner. It illuminates life. It says to you, okay, take a clearer look at life. These are the stumbling blocks in life. How are we going to avoid them? What am I going to do? What are we as a family going to do that we can now go through to the next week, go out of Shabbos, and not trip and fall in the Nesiyonos HaChayim and the tests of life? How can we set ourselves, know where we're headed, see what's in the way, see the pitfalls, and know how to deal with them? That's what Shabbos is supposed to provide. And in order for it to provide that, Shalom Bayis is the key ingredient. Because the only way a family can elevate its aspirations and reach its goals of making life more spiritual, more kedushadik, more close to the Rabbi Nishleilam, is if husband and wife have the same goal, see things the same way. If they can use Shabbos, if they can use the spirituality that Shabbos gives them, and they can focus in and say, this is what we want from life, this is how we're going to get there, and we're going to work as a team, then they're way far ahead, and the battle is already not completely won, but well on its way in being won. Whereas if they don't see eye to eye, and the Shabbos does not serve as that perspective on life, and there is a strife in the house, whether it starts on a sharp, not sharp knife, or whether it starts with something else, and there's a strife, and not a togetherness, and not a common goal, and not a unity of purpose, and everybody has their own things that they want, there's no perspective, then they're bound to stumble as they go back into the work week. Kedushas HaBayis depends on setting goals. It depends on having a goal. What do I want? Machay vasi b'olami. I have that goal for myself. I have that goal for my family. Together, a husband and wife set that goal. This is what they want. This is how they're going to head there. These are the things that are in the way, whether it's exposures that they expose their children to, whether it's other factors that are anti-Kedusha. The whole world is anti-Kedusha. You know, it's sad that even in the best of houses, even in the best of places, we have become dulled. Our sensitivities have become dulled to things that are not Kedushadik. 30 years ago, somebody would mention certain words that today are commonplace and are talked about on a constant basis as if nothing is wrong. Not that we chas v'shalom engage in such behavior, but our sensitivities are dulled. We're not as sensitive as we were once upon a time because it's so commonplace and it's so accepted and it's so the norm that we don't even, you know, we're human and our sensitivities are totally dulled to it. It's our job as a family to provide that perspective for our families. As a husband and wife, as parents, we provide perspective. What's important? What's not important? What are we going to be exposed to? What are we not going to be exposed to? How are we going to control the exposure to the outside world? Not eliminate, because that's impossible, but control. Imbue with Kedusha. Talk about the mila of being a Yid. Talk about the chashivas of being a B'nai Avraham, Yitzchak, V'Yakov. Talk about the chashivas of a future, glorious future that awaits Klal Yisrael. Build up, create that environment. And Shabbos is the tool when the Rabbeinu Shlomo gave us this time when we can be more at peace with ourselves. And if we can work and overcome the Eitzahara of Shalom Bayis, which is a constant on Friday nights, as Chazal tell us, if we can overcome that, then we are one step closer to achieving the goal of Kedushas Habayis, of elevating our house to become a spiritual thing. One other nekuda that I would like to mention. The other key ingredient in Kedushas Habayis, and other key ingredient, not the other key, and other key ingredient in Kedushas Habayis, is Simchas Achayim. Is a house, in order to have Kedusha, has to be happy. Children, they notice unhappiness. If they pick up vibes of unhappiness, it inevitably affects them. Rav Eishe says in his Sefer many times that what killed American Jewry was the line, Oitzi Shveretz Zayin Ayid. Rav Eishe says that when people came over from Europe and they struggled and they lost jobs and they were Meiser Nefesh, they came home and they said, Oitzi Shveretz Zayin Ayid, and the kid said to himself, I don't have to be one. My father has to be one. I don't have to be one. That's what Rav Eishe writes in his Sefer. We have to impart, we have to give over a simcha on being a Yid. Ashreinu matayv chokeinu. We have to give over to our families, if we want Kedushas Habayis, if we want a house to be going tyrannic away, we have to get the message across that what we're doing makes us happy. That we are happy with our lot that we have. That we don't look at the world and we're not jealous at the world and we're not trying to copy the world. We're happy with who we are. And we're ecstatic in the fact that we can serve the Rabbeinu Shlomo. Those vibes create a positive atmosphere. It's the positive atmosphere that helps people towards that goal of Kedushas Habayis.
Is it worth taking any questions? Yeah.
You can try.
One of the areas that, speaking of gray areas and Kedushas Habayis, one of the things that I battle with, some friends I've spoken to in the firm community battle with, is with work and coming home with work and computers, the internet is one of those areas that if I had my druthers, I wouldn't even bring it into the house. But to have email and to work from home, which has become kind of a necessary thing, it has come in. But I guess it's one of those things that I would like to hear the Rev speak upon. It's a gray area that can go so black in a second, and it's just a hard thing to deal with.
It's interesting. I go to a convention. I spoke about internet. I personally think, I can only say what I think, that the only way to do it is a person has to You know, the Torah tells us that Yosef was going to do the chayt with Eishes Beit Hifar. What saved him was the Muzd Yuknoi Shalavim. He saw his father in front of him. His father's image saved him. I think that the only thing that can prevent is if a person has, quote-unquote, a father image, meaning it doesn't have to be his father, right? You have someone that you think about, and you see him, and you say, I can't do it. You have to, there's no way that today you can exist in society without internet, unless you are ready. That's about the only, probably, and even not, but probably that you can go without internet, even that. I also have to buy airline tickets. It's impossible. I mean, everybody has to have internet. But what you have to do is, there's a demus yuknoi shalavim. We have to provide ourselves with someone who can be the image. The shaykhis that we have to that person provides the protection. Like, what would he think of me? You know, I value that connection. What would he think of me? What would be... And that is one of the ways...
But he doesn't know. The person doesn't know.
So that's, you know, there's, Yaakovino doesn't know either. But, you know, right, exactly. The other aspect is the second part of that Chazal. Chazal said that Yaakovino told Yosef, your children are, my children are going to be written on the Eifay, and you're there. You want to be erased. There's a glorious future. Mashiach is around the corner. When he's coming, I don't know, but he's coming soon. And there's a glorious future for those who don't get their names erased. Those people who are going to be around, those people who last, are part of that glorious future. The only way to control a thing like that is positive, is to build oneself up that, again, and people are human, and they're going to make mistakes, and they're going to definitely, you know, at times give in to the Yetzirah. That's part of being human. But the only way I feel that it can be controlled, you know, they have programs that I think are very good, that you go on the internet, and somebody else, you know, you have the, they have the, I forgot what it's called, e-blast? I think they gave me e-blast, that's what he did.
Yeshiva Shabbat, or anything that you look at on the internet, somebody else gets immediately.
Right, exactly, right. They have that.
That's so that nice. Shouts out to the whole mikveh directory. That would be
no, but really, you have one person that you trust, so you wouldn't do it.
They keep your secrets and you keep theirs.
Exactly. You should know, you only have a Yetzirah for yourself. I have no Yetzirah for you, you have no Yetzirah for me. That's the Milo. I don't have any interest in you doing an Averis. And you don't have any interest in me doing an Averis. So that's... But you're right, it's not easy. It's not easy. Nobody's going to say it's easy. But the only way to do anything is in a positive spin, in a positive way.
I don't understand. Because every Rishus becomes like Oyeg Shabbos and Shabbos, so therefore the Yitzhahara, the third kick that should be some problem to show about. What's that?
Meaning the battle of the whole week, the Yitzhahara doesn't have much. He doesn't take vacation, the Yitzhahara.
Okay,
he doesn't have that getting used. Person has his own Shalom problems all week round. But all week long, but the
internal one is not there, so it's...
So therefore, now it goes to the next level. Uh-huh. The next level of, you know, Rav Meir Bloch, it's his yahrzeit tonight, said the following vart. He said, everybody has an anoichi, an eye. Some people's eye, I'll change the vart a little bit. Everybody's eye encompasses different levels. There's the eye of the family, there's the eye of the community. And then some people have an eye of Klal Yisrael, right? The big people, right? So the eye of yourself is your biggest eye. Your next biggest eye is your family. So if your eye is more peaceful on Shabbos, and the Yetzirah has no... Right, we're talking about people that aren't doing Averis. So he moves on to the next level of eye, which is your family, and tries to create a lack of Shalom Bayis there. That's why you find the Chazal, the many Chazal on the Friday night, seem to be prime time for lack of Shalom Bayis.
According to this philosophy, it will come out somebody who does Averis will have less problems with Shalom Bayis.
No, he doesn't, because not necessarily. It's not philosophy, it works that way. The Yetzirah works on all fronts. It's not like he's happy, he gets you to do one thing, he leaves you alone.
Yeah, but you're saying your Yetzirah comes on Shabbos to make strife in the family because he doesn't have to work on you.
He has less, a different work on you, right.
So I'm saying, somebody who's doing Averis, the HR is very complacent, very happy with him, so he doesn't worry about him and his wife.
Well, could be a guy that's, you know.
The guy's not worried about chopping his knife.
Yeah, exactly. The guy's not worried about chopping his knife. Worried about, you know. Right. Yes.
Are there any guidelines when it comes to, let's say, Yanni Kedusha, Yanni Shayuhim, for the Tzibur, or is it more just of a...
There's no guideline. I don't know of any guidelines for Tzibur. It's always everybody...
In the gray areas, in the Katakats and Mutzalach. I mean, we're here really to hear more about... I don't mean to negate what we heard.
I understand.
I just mean specifically in this area, that's what Shayuhim is about. Is there guidelines, or is it just a...
Everybody, it's a very subjective thing.
I understand.
There is no guidelines for everybody. Everybody works on it on his...
Right, okay.
Say
Luch
Harav,
that's the guideline.
That's the guideline, right.
Say Luch Harav. It's Arizo, you send Yisrael Yisrael later.
Yeah, it's Arizo. I think it comes from Arizo.
But it recently became the style, no?
Well, was the style all the right. time. I think the other things, the other Lutzschik, is Baruch on it. He's very big on it.
To inspire the children at, let's say, the Shabbos table, when they have a lot of other distractions or they're used to other things, is quite difficult. Do you have any suggestions, Rabbi, about things you can do? I mean, you can tell them stuff like, you know, that we're the chosen people and that we're special and so on and so forth, but there's other areas that is not so clear. You mentioned the glorious future, but it's very hard to describe or find books that even talk about what their future exactly is. So, do you have any suggestions in that area?
See, again, it's hard for me to answer, I'll be very honest. It's hard for me to answer, but I think that, again, I'm trying to draw from my experience as a parent. Mm-hmm. I think children value family time. I think children value family time. Family time does not have to be as exciting as the rest of the week because it's family time. They value parents giving them attention. You know, one of the things we suffer for in our society is that we never have time to give our kids attention. They value being given attention. They value being spoken to and listened to. And so I think that the very fact that there's an environment of family time and the discussion goes in the parsha and in about what you know, automatically they're more receptive of it. You don't have to, you're not competing with the video game or with the iPod on Shabbos because they're not doing that anyway, but you don't have to even offer them something as exciting as an iPod because I think they value good old-fashioned family time spent with, you know, their father and their mother and their siblings when they're not fighting with them. You know, but it's the, again, I'm just trying to draw from my own experience as a parent. I found that they enjoy a certain way of just being together with, you know, with family. That's what I find. Again, I'm drawing from my own experience. Doesn't necessarily mean it works, you know, again. So I think that the environment is very prone at that moment, at that point, for discussions, for give and take, for finding out what the kid really feels and how to deal with, because, again, it depends on the age of the child, but because I think they value the fact that they're being treated as adults, like, so to speak. They're part of the conversation. They're being included. That's my feeling of the matter.
Should a husband and a wife have a sit-down time to discuss gray areas and what their common goals are?
Absolutely. Because
or should it just happen, like, you know, when it comes up?
You know, again, everything is subjective. You know, I think that they focus and they have the same goal in life. It makes life a lot simpler if they know that they have the same goal in life. When it comes up, it usually comes up because one wants to do A and one wants to do B.
They should decide on it before it happens.
I think so.
Maybe before Shabbos.
You know, I have this, I have it even in eighth grade, you know. You have parents that call you up and they say they want to do this for their kid, and another mother says, no, but I want my kid to have a better secular education than that. And the father says, no, make up your mind what you want and then decide what you want to do. you know, one wants to do one thing and one wants to do the other thing. You're pulling the kid, you know, and the kid picks it up. He hears that, you know, you want to go to that yeshiva because they have better English and that yeshiva has worse. But the father doesn't care about English, but the mother does care. And again, it's a minor thing, or it might be minor, but it's the same idea. If you're not on the same page, you're sending mixed messages. And that's, you know, that's automatically, you know, the child, like he says, who am I going to be like now? Like my father, like my mother? Like, where am I, you know?
So what do you do in such a situation? Are you supposed to be a doctor on that? Let's say a father and a mother. You feel something's right, and your wife feels otherwise.
So that, the answer is, the answer
to
that,
you're
100% right. The answer to that is to have the person that you both trust make the if it's a, I'm talking about it's a major issue. If it's a minor thing, it's a minor thing. But if it's something that, like,
chicken or meat.
Right, chicken or meat is not going to make a difference. But if it's that's the vial of having someone you can both talk to and respect and accept. That eliminates that problem. That's supposed to eliminate that problem. To have someone that you can respect and can talk to and both will accept from. So then, you know, if the person has seichel, which I assume is a prerequisite, if not, you wouldn't both trust him and accept from him. So if he has seichel, he'll understand that he can't always come down on one side and one. He has to hear both sides. He has to definitely make sure that both sides understand that he's listening to them. And he understands two sides of the issue and then picks. I had a shiloh once, and me and my wife had a disagreement. And I called Rabbi Weinberg, Zeichel Tzadik Livracha, who told me how right my wife was, and then paskin like me. He said, your wife is so right, but in this case, it was whether our 12-year-old boy should come to girls' camp for the summer. And my wife felt that being with the family is much better than being at friends' houses. I'm in a girls' camp for 4 weeks. And being with is much, much worse than him to be running around without Ashgacha. And I felt that a 12-year-old boy shouldn't be in girls' camp. So we picked up a phone and we called Rabbi Weinberg. And he listened and he said, your wife is so right and family is so important, but he shouldn't be there for 4 weeks. I think he came for 1 week. I think that's what he said to do. He can come for the last week. But that's the point was, again, my wife felt that he had listened to her totally, and I for sure I lost. I mean, I was sure that he would agree with her about that. But then he said, he agreed, you know, he thinks that 4 weeks is too much for the 12-year-old. Fine. But that was but what happened? He listened. He heard both sides. And we both accepted from him. That's the you know, every family is going to have disagreements. Humans disagree with each other. They're not human. So, and again, if it's minor things, they can work it out themselves. If it's really a thing that, you know, it seems major or it seems important, so that's what Rebbeim are for, and that's what Rabbanim are for. That's what they're there for.
Yeah. Yes, you can. Thank you very much.